I remember Jim Rohn saying, take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live. With this top of mind and our focus on health and wellness in this month's issue, we're doing everything we can to make sure that you have the right tools to allow you to meet with success in all your pursuits. Our guest, Jonathan Roach, is the founder of Breakthrough Health and Wellness Solutions Incorporated, an award-winning fitness expert and a 12-time Ironman triathlon finisher. Yes, I said 12 times. As you can tell, Jonathan has a sensational passion for health and fitness. I think you will feel that during our discussion today with Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome to Success. Great to have you here.
Darren, it's a pleasure to be here. I have been an avid Success reader literally since 1998, so it's a big honor to be here and to inspire the Success readership.
Well, let's see if we can dig out some of your best ideas. So starting off, Jonathan, you didn't originally start yourself working as a personal trainer or a health expert. In fact, your work had nothing to do with health. So share your story of what prompted you to change your life and put a new emphasis on health and fitness.
Back in 1995, I was working as a financial analyst at Fidelity, working long hours. I had been a college athlete, but the long hours and the pace of my new career had pretty much derailed anything I was doing fitness, health-wise. I literally got on the train in Boston on the day of the Boston Marathon, and a guy gets on the train, he's got the cover thing on him, and clearly had just run the marathon. So I said to him, how was it? And literally, Darren, this guy was on fire. His eyes were popping out of his head. It was the best day of my life. Over the next 10 to 15 minutes, he literally got me so fired up about what he had just done. Not just the fact that he had run 26 miles, but the vibe on this guy, he was literally on fire. And at the end of our conversation, he literally looked at me and said, you should do it. Now, the part of that story is, at that time, I weighed 224 pounds and was a size 38 waist. So I wasn't exactly marathon ready. Get off the train, very inspired, pre-cell phone. So I go home, I call my dad. I tell him about the conversation. Having grown up in Boston, I'd gone to the Boston Marathon every year. So it was important to my family to do that. So I said to him, what do you think of this, Dad? And, you know, I'll lose weight and I'll do it, everything else. He was phenomenal. So he was all excited. So I started training for the Boston Marathon. Now, fast forward 7 months later, I'm on a treadmill in Boston at a health club, dripping in sweat, running. And guess, why don't you take a guess at what weight I was at that point?
No idea.
224.
Oh, man.
So Mr. Inspired from the train 7 months earlier, I'm going to conquer the mountain, I'm going to run the Boston Marathon. My really like game-changing why hadn't clicked. And literally, November 6, 1995, I'm on the treadmill at that club, dripping in sweat. I get called to the front desk. When I walk up to the front desk, it's one of my older brothers saying that my father, who was also in finance, who was also a college athlete, who was obese and struggled with his weight, died of a cardiac arrest.
Huh.
And that's when my why got deep and strong. My dad only met one out of his 9 grandchildren. And so over the course of the next 6 to 12 months, I dropped 40 pounds and have since then kept my 44 pounds off for 18 years and then also have completed 18 straight Boston marathons.
Yeah, and at the time of this recording, this is only a week or two after the last Boston Marathon where they had those incredible tragedies take place. And you were, I guess I just found out before this interview, you were only 500 yards away when it all happened. And anyway, it's just terrible what happened. But you said 18 straight Boston marathons. Is that right?
That is correct.
That's incredible. I mean, 18 marathons. Wow. That's incredible. I mean, just one, half of one would be an incredible feat for anybody. So, you know, you and I both know that there's no shortage of fitness and weight loss information out there. So much so that I think it ends up becoming the great excuse. People don't, you know, they're so overwhelmed, they don't know what to do, so they do nothing. So give us your best suggestions for cutting through the noise and finding sound advice.
Well, there's really two groups of thought or opportunities to get information. There's the non-professional, right? Like your brother-in-law wants to tell you, oh, hey, Darren, the way I lost the weight was I did this. And then there's the professional, meaning personal trainer, fitness expert, nutritionist, et cetera. On the first group, what I like to tell our audience, and it's pretty blunt, but that's how I like to really inspire our audience, which is, would you go to a dentist with rotten teeth? And it's very blunt, but a lot of people who give fitness and weight loss advice, maybe they had a window in their life where they lost weight, but then they put it back on. And my advice to our team members is, if a family member or friend has walked the walk and they've kept the weight off, then they really are speaking from a position of they can probably help you. But if it's someone that at one point put it back on, that's probably not advice you should take. The second group, though, I'm a big fan of really checking into testimonials and what is the vibe behind either this organization, this gym, this personal trainer. Do they have a track record of creating true behavioral change, sustained behavioral change? That's incredibly important. One thing I will add, though, is to avoid the temptation of quick fixes. We both know they're everywhere. You can drop 10 pounds a week, you know, doing this freaky diet, or you can exercise, you know, an hour, hour and a half a day, and you're going to peel off all this weight. The problem with that is it's completely unsustainable, and the people are, you know, my bluntness again is they're dead in the water before they start because they are never going to keep it up.
So we talked about overwhelm being one of the excuses that keeps people in paralysis. Let's talk about some of the other common excuses that you hear from people about why they don't exercise or why they don't focus on their health. What do you hear most often?
The number one I hear is I don't have the time. We've all used it, right? Which is life is nuts. We're juggling a lot. I don't have the time. The tough thing there, though, is if you think of any given week, we have 168 hours. And if you look at exercise and you do it focused on quality versus quantity, which we'll discuss later probably, you don't need a ton of time. You just need to be really focused for 2 to 3 hours out of those 168 hours a week. So what I like to tell our members, and again, it's blunt, but that's kind of, I think, the best way to truly empower people and to have them be clear on what they're trying to do is if you are spending time watching TV or on Facebook and you say you don't have time to exercise, it's just simply not true. It's an excuse that we use to not feel bad about taking action. So the first one is the no time. Second one that I would point out is this concept of I don't have the tools or I can't afford a gym membership or personal trainers are too much money, et cetera. The reality is you literally need nothing. You need your head in the right spot in your living room and just make a commitment to a certain chunk of time, whether it's even 10 or 15 minutes, but very purposeful minutes to make that happen. Third excuse I hear a lot or often enough is this concept of having bad genes, meaning, well, my dad was obese or, you know, it's just my family, that's how we are. We're big, you know, we're big into our meals, we're big into this. That one is living your old story and living your family's old story. And we try to inspire people to move beyond that story to be a cycle breaker so that the next generation, whether it's, you know, your kids or your siblings, et cetera, are inspired to do things differently.
Yeah, to change your story, stop repeating your old story. So, you know, everybody listening here, Jonathan, they're all achievers, they're all strivers, they're all people who are going for it and trying to do big things in the world. So everybody's leading busy, jam-packed lives. So break it down for us. Give us a simple plan that everybody listening, regardless of how busy they are or what else they've got going on in their lives, where they can achieve great health and great fitness while they lead a busy life. Let's just sort of break this excuse down. And now we've got a plan in front of us. There are no more excuses.
Well, Darren, the key there is all the people who wait for the ideal time to hit the gas, they'll be waiting forever because there's always the next thing happening business-wise or personally. So when people get stuck in that kind of, well, when life gets a little simpler at the office or when the kids go to school or they go off to college or we get the mortgage paid off, they end up spectating on their true potential. Forget about fitness and weight loss. And that's what we try to really empower people to realize that there is never going to be an ideal time and you're never going to all of a sudden just go from level one to level 10 as far as your fitness habits, your nutrition habits, your wellness habits. You've got to decide, all right, maybe I'm going to get a couple wins by drinking enough water. Maybe I'm going to park a little further from the door at the grocery store or the office. Maybe I'm going to commit to 10 minutes of purposeful workouts per morning to get my juices flowing. And what they'll find is it's the small steps, kind of like you talk about in the compound effect, that ultimately lead to the victory.
So let me attack this particular situation. I mean, starting a workout, while it's not easy, it's not the hard part either. Right? There are plenty of people who start, right? They join the gym, they go and buy all their Lululemon and their brand new Nikes and, you know, they get started or, you know, they start their training program or they start their new diet. but sustaining it is the key here, right? It's again what I talk about in the compound effect. If there's one attribute that you want to master, it's the attribute of consistency. And so sustaining this exercise or this nutritional lifestyle is the key to ultimate optimum health and wellness. So give us two or three tips that you offer others to maintain a great workout routine long-term, and then we'll go into the nutritional side of it long-term. But talk to us about the workout routine and sustaining it long-term.
I think the key, Darren, is if your why isn't strong enough, you're not going to stay in the game long-term. So I think people think, oh, hey, we're going to the high school reunion. I want to try to get dialed in. That will not last. Or, hey, we have the summer coming up, or I want to get fit for our vacation. That doesn't stick. But for me, obviously, I shared the story with you and the team about what happened with my dad. For me, my deep why is I do not want my two boys to miss out on having me be a grandfather to their kids and for me to be available. So that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. And I invite anyone listening for the team to really think in terms of, why do I really want to lose weight? Why do I really want to get fit? And it can't be something like, I want to look better, I want to wear these pair of jeans. It's got to go deeper, which is, you know what, I want to thrive. And for the success readers, a lot of whom are in business, running businesses, et cetera, the number one thing I feel like you can bring to your organization, your team, is your energy. When you are locked and loaded and you come into a room and you are on, the team is inspired, and it's only going to help you from a leadership role, whether you're leading in the office or you're leading in your home.
I really like that, the visual that provides, and it's the truth. One of the greatest things that you could bring to your organization is your energy. And optimizing your energy is all about proper exercise and fitness and proper nutrition, proper sleep, and overall living a well-balanced, whole, healthy life. So what a great perspective that's the greatest gift. And if you are not optimizing it, you're not only cheating yourself, of course, but you're cheating even the entrepreneurial endeavors that you're pursuing as well. You know, one of the other things, Jonathan, I think trips people up is they start this new exercise regimen, or they start this new diet, and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks go by and they're just being greatly disciplined and first time in their lives, and they expect to go from, you know, sedentary and overweight to a Victoria's Secret model or a Calvin Klein underwear model, you know, literally overnight. Talk to us about, you know, how this physical change doesn't happen right away and how physical appearance plays into our workouts and guides us with some realistic expectations. Give us some thoughts on the time and process it takes to start seeing real results.
Well, I think the tough term I use, Darren, and it's a fact, which is you have two options. You can hurry up and fail, or you can take your time and win. And that's really blunt, but all the people, like if you go to a health club in January, they're all the hurry up and fail team. They're trashing their bodies, they're trying to do hour and a half a day. There's also the group that does the freaky diets where they're literally so irritable they want to chew on their arm and yell at everyone. Neither of those is sustainable. So they're hurrying up in order to try to take off significant weight, but it doesn't stick for the long haul. The long haul is, what are your daily habits? It's all about the habits. If you look at any individual who has lost weight and gotten fit and stayed there forever, for, you know, since that time, they have two common things in that almost all of them have adapted to make this happen for good. Number one, they are incredibly accountable to themselves. So we went through the excuse before about, I don't have time, or I don't have the tools, or my genes. You would never hear that from those people. They will not accept that from themselves. The second thing is, they're all over, what are the steps? What are the tools? Which was your primary question here, which is, what are the tools? How do we go about this to gradually take the weight off? Because 1 to 2 pounds of weight loss a week, you could say 1 to 3 if someone has more than 50 pounds to lose, is absolutely fabulous and sustainable for the long haul. The problem is, people watch like a weight loss show. These people are dropping big time weight, but they have professional trainers, their meals are all prepared, and then they have unrealistic expectations. If you look at anyone, as I said, who's pulled this off for the long haul, they're incredibly accountable to themselves and they have tactics in place. There's no grayness. One of the terms I love to say, and it's in line with what you talk about in the compound effect, is there's literally no grayness. You have to remove the grayness and play offense on what are the steps, which, if you don't mind, can I actually go into some of the pointers on some of the steps?
Yeah, please do. No, really.
So in simple terms, what I like to tell people is there's some key moves you want to make nutritionally that you want to balance with some key fitness moves that overall will create the structure for you to be successful. This is the take your time and win team. Okay, I'll just go through them real quick. Breakfast within an hour, waking up. We've got to get some energy and nutrients in our body to fuel our morning, also to help get our metabolism going. Want to eat every 2 to 3 hours. A lot of fitness experts say, oh no, your insulin levels will get spiked. That's not what you tell people. When you don't eat for 4 or 5 hours, you are in a compromised state as far as your head in making good choices. You end up blowing it. You eat too much at the next meal, which is lunch or dinner, and or you make poor choices. So breakfast within an hour, eating every 2 to 3 hours, hydrate like a mad woman or a madman all day. So you're constantly going to the bathroom pretty frequently. Sorry to mention that, but it's really important. And then also thinking in terms of having dessert once a week is a small thing, but people have dessert almost every night and those calories just pile on and it trashes your ability to lose weight. So those are some of the nutritional tips. Balancing those off with random acts of fitness. Where are you parking at the office? Where are you parking at the grocery store? Are you turning some of the things you do around your home into workouts, which a lot of people look down on? But the key is every step counts, every move counts. And if you can get your random acts of fitness in and then crush these sweaty 30-minute workouts, 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week, again, 3 out of your 168 hours a week, you should do just those things, Darren. It will transform or start transforming your energy, which will feed your thirst for, you know, I'm feeling like alive again. I feel good. Maybe I don't feel like when I played soccer in college, but I'm like waking up here. And that can be mentally where it starts clicking. And that's when true sustainable transformation can happen.
Well, let's start talking about how to monitor and measure this progress. So doing all these things that you had just suggested, you know, I'm a big fan of tracking progress and I like to do it old school, right? On a piece of paper or a little notepad or a journal. I know there are a lot of apps out there and digital means of doing this when it comes to exercising and eating, right? So give us a few of your favorites and the way that you like to go about monitoring and measuring and keeping track of your progress.
Yeah, so there's the tools, which you mentioned, Darren, right? So a couple of them are MyFitnessPal is a fabulous tool for tracking calories. It's very simple. They have a huge following because they've built something special. Spark People, either sparkpeople.com or through an app, fabulous community, great tracking tools, et cetera. I mentioned earlier about this theme of remove the grayness. I'm all over that because you cannot be successful, whether you're talking business, weight loss, fitness, anything, winging it flat out doesn't work. So when we remove the grayness and we get these habits in place, that's how you can be successful while tracking them. So what we do for our free group is we have what's called the 15 Secrets to Better Health, some of which we already went through, right? The breakfast within an hour, the eating every 2 to 3 hours, et cetera. And what you can do is you can score yourself literally from 0 to 3. So 0, you're not even in the game. I haven't had breakfast in an hour in a year. That's 0. I'm dabbling in it. Maybe it's a 1, et cetera. If you're crushing it, it's a 3. You could come up with a scoring system just for those 15 secrets where you say, okay, obviously the best score is a 45. Where am I at? Because what happens with these tools, and it literally can be as simple as a piece of paper, you can come up with your own things, which is, I don't like his idea on the dessert thing, shocker. I'm going to go with some of these other ideas he came up with. And then you literally score yourself from 0 to 3 because you remove the grayness. One of the things we do in our online boot camp, which I'm freaky about because it flat out works, is we have a no excuses wellness score that relates to 30 secrets. If you call into my radio show, hey, Jonathan, it's Darren Hardy. I'm having some trouble. You know, I'm not losing weight yet. Darren, what's your no excuses wellness score? Oh, it's a 68. I'll say to you, Darren, tough love. It's about to get bumpy. Unless the score's at 80, you know there's nothing to talk about. You have to get your score up to 80 because it's all right there. Your map is literally in front of you. And for the listeners of success or the readers of success, when you start defining exactly what are the steps to pull this off, and then you layer in the accountability and the scoring, you're almost unstoppable because there's no grayness. You wouldn't turn to Georgia, Darren, and go, yeah, it's weird, honey. I thought I was going to get fit. You know exactly why you're not getting fit, or you know exactly why you're getting fit.
Now, speaking of accountability, one of the tools that you recommend to people is a checklist for the night before. You call it the win tomorrow checklist, I believe. So describe the purpose of a night before checklist in regards to our physical routine and what should be on this list?
So the purpose is, and again, one of my central themes is this concept of remove the grayness or the winging it, because particularly as we all know, our lives get more hectic or our days get more hectic by the hour. So things are a little simple out of the gate and then all of a sudden, you know, the team members come in or the kids or other responsibilities of life. It just gets crazier and crazier. So the whole concept of like, yeah, I think I'm going to go to the gym in the morning, that just doesn't play out because all of a sudden the morning goes, you know, I think I'm going to do it after the lunch meeting. And then things get a little nuts and you go, maybe I'll try it on the way home, and then it doesn't happen. And then you go, oh, I'll get on the train tomorrow. By getting in front of it and going through the tips within the Win Tomorrow checklist, which are get your water bottles ready, get your workout clothes ready, get your snacks, your healthy snacks for the next day ready, get your lunch ready for the next day, pick an exact time to nail your workout, which obviously if life comes up, something's going on at the office, kids are sick, whatever, you're going to have to shift that. But besides that, you're doing it. And then literally the last one, and it makes adults cringe, which is part of our process, is set a bedtime. The people that, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, Darren, and for the in success readers, they get up, they are on it. They're not up watching late night TV kind of going, yeah, it's weird, I haven't been able to lose any weight, or things are kind of struggling with the office. They're struggling because you're not playing offense on taking care of your body, your mind, your energy, so that you can crush the next day. All the winners in business, whether it's Richard Branson, you, other people that have really, that are thriving, they set themselves up for success in advance. Fitness and weight loss is no different. You get these tools in place the night before. In the morning, you're not going, I think I was going to go to the gym, but I don't even know where my shorts are. Or, man, I haven't had anything to eat for 4 hours. I guess I'll go over here to the pantry and try to grab something. You already know the night before. It's already, tomorrow's success is set up.
You know, Jonathan, one of the things I do and I teach is what's called a sprint prep, which is preparing for tomorrow the day before. So I'd love to get this Win Tomorrow checklist and provide it to our success audience. Something you can send me, something I can make available to them?
Absolutely.
Great. So just a couple more questions for you today, Jonathan. In your book that I mentioned earlier, you talk about how we can chase down our potential to increase our fitness and weight loss. So tell us how to do that. What did you mean by that and how do we go about it?
What I mean, Darren, is most people are stuck in the hole like, Darren, I'm not feeling good. I got to like, if you and I are buddies, I got to lose some weight. Like, I can't believe what's happened. I'm 40 pounds heavy. Remember in college, we were like locked and loaded and they stay so focused on the whole fitness and weight loss part of the journey. But the hidden tool is really this concept of why don't you go higher than that? Why don't you go better than that and say, forget about weight, forget about fitness. I want to chase down my potential. Would you say that to a lot of people? They're like, what's this guy nerding out about? But the bottom line is, I don't care who you are. You are sitting in a spot right now, and there's a gap between where you're sitting and your true potential. And all the real fun parts of life are literally in that gap. That's the playing field. And so if you look at it from a negative standpoint, oh, I can't believe it. He's right. I'm slacking. I haven't done this with my career or my kids or my weight. That's not where you should be coming from. You should be coming from the wider the gap, the more fired up you should be about who you are going to become. Again, kind of lending from Jim Rohn, but it's not about your goals. It's about who you become in the process of hunting down your goals. So what we try to do is get people to see, you know what? He's right. I'm so much better than I have been showing the world. I got to get on it here. I got to get my energy up. I want to feel good. I want to feel good at work. I want to feel good with my kids. I want to feel good, period. And if you can think in terms of what's the gap between where you're sitting now and where you want to go, there's so much magic in there. And the thing that that feeds into, which again is really tough, but this can alter people's mental state as they go about this journey, Darren, which is it's not the weight that we carry that exhausts us. So carrying weight is exhausting. Oh man, it was tough when I brought the kids to Disney. I was dragging with the extra weight. You know what's exhausting? Regret. Regret for missed opportunities. Regret for who could I have been? So I refuse, and I invite the readers of success to refuse to be on a porch someday in their 80s with their spouse looking at each other going, man, we missed it, honey. We had it. We could have gone, but the weight was in the way and our negative attitude was in the way and this was in the way. So instead, wrapping back to what you initially asked, hunt down your potential every day. And that doesn't mean you're going to nail it, but get up and get on it and decide, you know what? I am not a reflection of my best self. And I am going to change that. The beauty of that is when you make that decision, everyone else goes with you. So your team, most importantly, spouse, if you have kids, parents, siblings, whoever you hang out with, they start getting that vibe. The guy on the train, right? Back to 1995, Darren, I was intrigued with the fact that he had just run 26 miles. You know what I was really intrigued with? This guy was on fire. And I literally remember being like, how in the world can that guy be so energized and like positive and inspiring after putting his body through 26 miles? And it was because he is hunting down his potential, whether he realizes it or not, or he was.
So one final question for you today, Jonathan. If there's one thing 6 months from now that people remember about their time with us today, maybe it's a mantra, something they put on a sticky pad that they post to their dashboard or their bathroom mirror, or maybe it's something that they think about when they step on the treadmill, or it's something that they put on their vision board that just reminds them about what they need to do in order to live up to their fitness potential. What's the one thing you want to be the most memorable outcome from our conversation today? Get one anchor that people could leave with to go, okay, if I just remember, or I just think about this, or I just do this one thing, life will never be the same starting right now.
Here it is. The number one factor for success in any area of your life is your energy. And when you move from that to saying, you know what, I'm done managing my time from this point forward, I'm managing my energy. Literally, Darren, that's how I operate. I'm in perpetual state of, how do I get my energy up? And I invite the readers of success to move into that state, because you will be shocked at how much you get done by being in a highly energized state, like on the scale 1 to 5. You're a 4 or 5 most of the time. Not surprisingly, you're just cranking through projects, you're cranking through meetings, you're cranking through everything. And most importantly, when you are leading at home, we're all leaders, whether people want to embrace that title or not, we are all leaders. When we are leading at home, our kids, our spouse, our everyone that we spend time with, they become us. And when we are energized and they are thriving, we give them permission to come with us. And it's a fun journey for everyone. And if you were going to summarize kind of the activities around that, it's chase high energy, which is sounds incredibly simple. If you put that on a yellow sticky and you stuck it on your bathroom mirror and you saw it every morning, chase high energy. It will literally transform your life.
I like that. Well, Jonathan, I know, having known you personally, that you have a real passion to help people in this area. So you developed a lot of really great free tools, online free courses, these checklists that we've talked about, some other great support material. So I'll get with you after we conclude this interview, collect some of those things from you, make them available to our success audience, post this interview so that you can sort of live on as their personal fitness and nutritional coach post this interview. But I just want to thank you thus far for already contributing to many of those that are listening right now, their lives and their future, and for being with us here on Success. Thanks again, Jonathan.
Darren, it's been an absolute honor. And for the Success readers, you deserve to feel truly remarkable. Don't ever forget that. Put your energy hat on and get after it. And again, as I mentioned before, you will shock yourself with who you become.